At its July 1 meeting, the Bullitt County Board of Commissioners addressed a full agenda spanning law enforcement technology upgrades, planning and zoning debates, infrastructure needs, and intergovernmental collaboration. The meeting opened with a detailed presentation from Solicitor General Catherine Sumner, who requested approval to proceed with integrating Axon evidence into the state court's discovery process. Sumner emphasized that the digital platform would centralize evidence handling, increase security, reduce staff overtime, and better serve the thousands of cases her office processes each year. She secured tentative funding through the Law Library Board and requested only the Commission's approval to move forward with contract negotiations. Commissioners unanimously approved the request. The board did not take formal votes on any zoning matters due to the late release of the agenda packet, which limited time for proper review. However, all five rezoning proposals remained on the agenda, and the public was invited to speak. The most heavily discussed item involved a 25-home subdivision proposed at the corner of Sinkhole Road and Ephesus Church Road. The applicant stated that all infrastructure would be privately funded, that covenants would protect neighborhood aesthetics, and that the homes would fill a growing housing need. Public opposition was strong, with residents citing threats to rural character, infrastructure limitations, road safety, school overcrowding, and environmental concerns. Similar objections were raised about a proposed subdivision along Clito Road, where the applicant was criticized for the condition of current properties and concerns about future rental housing. Another rezoning request would allow a friend to build a home by subdividing a 6-acre parcel on Old River Road South. One proposal on U.S. Highway 80 East sought to rezone 51 acres for about 20 homes. The applicant responded to concerns over water usage and neighborhood integrity, but opponents cited drainage, stormwater runoff, and broken promises from previous developers. A fifth request on Maria Sorrell Road for 50 homes near Statesboro met with similar resistance. Neighbors pointed to stormwater management issues, proximity to industrial activity, traffic safety problems, and the burden of accumulated development. In each case, the commission deferred decisions until August 5. During general public comment, residents called for a moratorium on rezonings until the county finalizes its impact fee study. They warned that infrastructure and services are already strained, and noted that thousands of housing units have already been approved but not yet built. The pleas were echoed by a local school board member, who emphasized limited school capacity and the risk of falling further behind. Under new business, the commission unanimously approved a $424,500 contract with Kimley Horn & Associates to design a new multi-span bridge and roadway improvements on G.W. Oliver Road. The road has been closed since August 2024 due to multiple flooding events. County Engineer Ron Nelson emphasized the need to meet FEMA's reporting deadline to remain eligible for reimbursement, which could cover up to 85% of the eventual $2.5 million cost. Staff reports followed. Assistant Public Works Director Robert Siemens reported Deckel Road would reopen on July 2. Fire Chief Ben Tapley announced the official opening of Fire Stations 1 and 16, staffed by 22 firefighters, and confirmed mutual aid agreements with the City of Statesboro and Pooler. Emergency Management Director Corey Kemp detailed a recent multi-agency water rescue training exercise. Recreation Director D. Cosby reminded the public of the county's 4th of July event on July 3, starting at 5 p.m. with fireworks scheduled for Dark 30. Planning Director James Pope updated commissioners on three major initiatives: the septic treatment study, 45% complete, the impact fee study, RFP nearly finalized, and the Regional Groundwater Sustainability Program, with well testing underway and a joint oversight committee established. Pope also addressed federal earmarks totaling $4 million secured through Senator Raphael Warnock's office and outlined next steps to apply for EPA approval once current infrastructure studies are complete. Commissioners used their comment time to weigh in on public concerns. Commissioner Timmy Rushing delivered a pointed and impassioned statement aimed at clarifying the division of authority between the Bullitt County Board of Commissioners and the Bullitt County Board of Education. Rushing stressed that the commission has no jurisdiction over the school board's decisions regarding land purchases, facility planning, tax rates, or construction timelines. He emphasized that while the public often blames the commission for school overcrowding and infrastructure shortages, those issues fall squarely under the purview of the school system. Rushing also defended the commission's efforts to manage growth responsibly, pointing to the board's previous approval of a 1.5 mil tax increase to support critical infrastructure, such as new fire and EMS stations, sewer expansion, and equipment procurement. In contrast, he said the Board of Education had not yet broken ground on a single new school despite rising enrollment. Rushing acknowledged the rapid pace of development, citing that nearly 10,000 homes have already been approved, but maintained that the commission cannot stop growth and cannot be held accountable for problems it lacks the power to fix. He added that he speaks frequently with Superintendent Charles Wilson and respects the school board's role, but said he would continue reiterating the commission's limits at every meeting if necessary until the public understands. Commissioner Ray Davis suggested the commission invite the superintendent to speak at a future meeting to explain the effects of zoning on school capacity. Commissioner Ray Mosley raised questions about long-ago federal grants, which were clarified as recent earmarks that remain under county planning review. Chairman David Bennett closed the meeting by celebrating the launch of new fire services, firefighter graduations, and staff cooperation. He reminded citizens to apply for homestead exemptions by July 7 and attend the July 9 Joint Housing Study presentation. Commissioner's Agenda Packet. I. Call to order, welcome media and visitors. 2. Invocation and pledge. 3. Roll call. IV. Presentation. 1. Proposal for new discovery software. At Tuesday evening's meeting of the Bullock County Board of Commissioners, Solicitor General Catherine Sumner presented a detailed proposal to implement a more secure and efficient discovery process by integrating her office fully with Axon Evidence, a digital evidence and file-sharing platform widely used by law enforcement. Sumner, who leads prosecution efforts in Bullock County State Court, explained that her office handled more than 8,100 cases in 2024 alone, ranging from speeding violations to DUI and family violence charges. Currently operating with a staff of 5, the office has transitioned from physical media to electronic discovery, but faces major inefficiencies in managing file formats, security protocols, and communication with numerous law enforcement agencies using inconsistent methods. We're getting evidence through Dropbox, external hard drives, Axon, email, you name it, Sumner said. It's taking our staff weeks each month to process, format, and distribute this information. The proposed Axon integration would create a one-stop, secure portal for agencies to upload discovery evidence, automatically syncing with the solicitor's office and streamlining distribution to defense attorneys and pro se defendants. The move is expected to significantly reduce time demands, cut overtime costs, which currently run at over 213%, and enhance data security and accessibility. While the full 10-year contract would cost approximately $162,044, Sumner emphasized that no county funds are being requested for year one. Instead, she has secured tentative support from the Bullock County Law Library Board to cover the $5,000 upfront cost for initial training, agency setup, and launch, with an anticipated start date of September 1st. Sumner also negotiated a 30-day cancellation clause, giving the county flexibility to withdraw from the contract at any time without penalty if the system underperforms or needs change. "I'm not asking for money tonight," Sumner told commissioners. "I'm asking for permission to proceed with negotiations and implementation, knowing this can be scaled back if it doesn't meet expectations." The board unanimously approved a motion allowing Sumner to move forward with contract negotiations. No county funds will be allocated unless a future budget proposal is brought forward. Commissioners thanked her for the transparency, cost-conscious planning, and proactive steps to improve prosecutorial efficiency. V. Approval of zoning agenda. The planning and zoning items on the July 1 agenda were deferred due to the late release of the agenda packet, which did not provide commissioners sufficient time for review ahead of the meeting. While no votes were taken, the board did hear public comments on the rezoning requests, allowing residents and applicants the opportunity to share their input before the items return for formal consideration at a future meeting. Deferred 1. Turtle Landing Investments, LLC, request to rezone approximately 71.17 acres from a G5 to R80 to create a single-family subdivision, Sinkhole Road and Ephesus Church Road. Although no votes were taken on planning and zoning items at the July 1 meeting due to the late release of the agenda packet, the Board of Commissioners did hear public comments on each proposal, including a request to rezone approximately 71.17 acres at the corner of Ephesus Church Road and Sinkhole Road from a G5 to R80 for the development of a 25-home single-family subdivision. The applicant's representative explained that the project would not create a financial burden for the county, as all roads and infrastructure would be privately developed. The proposed homes, ranging from 1,200 to 1,600 square feet, would be stick-built with individual wells and a privately installed water system that includes capacity for fire suppression. He argued the area is already seeing growth and the development would meet a growing housing demand near new industrial projects along I-16. Protective covenants, he added, would be implemented to preserve the neighborhood's appearance and standards. The developer shared that he plans to live in the neighborhood himself and expressed a desire to see the land developed responsibly. He emphasized the value of low-density housing now, as a more intentional alternative to potentially denser development in the future. The homes would sit on 2-acre lots, with space for gardens and green areas. Both speakers asked the board to consider the long-term benefits to the community when the proposal returns for a formal vote. During the public hearing on the proposed rezoning for a subdivision on Ephesus Church Road, multiple residents voiced strong opposition to the project. Speakers came prepared with handouts, petitions, and personal stories, urging commissioners to consider the long-term consequences of allowing dense residential development in a rural part of the county. Applause occasionally followed comments, and the room visibly filled with concerned neighbors, many of whom stood to show solidarity with those speaking. Their comments reflected deep anxieties about the pace and direction of growth in Bullock County. Here are the key themes raised by opponents. Preservation of rural character. Opposition to converting farmland into dense subdivisions. Concern that the area's quiet, open nature would be lost. Lack of infrastructure. No access to public water or sewer systems. Roads in poor condition with limited government maintenance. Traffic and road safety. Fears of increased traffic volume and speeding. Safety issues at intersections, particularly along Highway 301. Strain on schools and services. Worries that local schools could become overcrowded. Increased demands on law enforcement, EMS, and other public services. Water supply and environmental impact. Possible strain on wells and groundwater resources. Environmental disruption from development in a previously undeveloped area. Premature growth without impact fees. Several speakers urged a pause on rezonings until the county's impact fee study is completed. Concern that taxpayers would ultimately bear the cost of expansion. Spillover from neighboring counties. Warnings about housing patterns and crime issues from Evans and Screven counties potentially repeating in Bullock. Appeals to preserve what makes the area unique and stable for longtime residents. Following the opposition comments, the applicant offered a final rebuttal in defense of the proposal. He reiterated that the development would be small in scale, limited to 25 well-built, covenant-protected homes, and would not contribute to crime or environmental decline. He argued that many of the concerns raised by residents, particularly those related to crime and immigration, were unrelated to the project at hand and based on broader issues outside the developer's control. Stressing his own background in farming, he claimed the subdivision would use far less water than typical agricultural operations and emphasized that the growth occurring in the area made it a logical location for new housing. He urged commissioners to look past what he called misinformation and consider the merits of a modest, well-planned development. DEFRRED 2. Michael Mallard, request to rezone approximately 24.4 acres from AG5 to R80 to create a single-family subdivision, Clito Road. Public opposition was also voiced for the second planning and zoning item, which proposed a small subdivision along Clito Road. Though no vote was taken due to the agenda's late release, speakers still raised concerns about the applicant's existing property conditions and the suitability of the area for additional residential development. Common themes expressed in opposition: existing developments already underway. Residents pointed to nearby projects like Rexford and Silverleaf, which are expected to add significant new housing, arguing that more development is unnecessary. Poor condition of current housing on site. Speakers shared photos and first-hand accounts of neglected or substandard housing allegedly maintained by the applicant, questioning whether the proposed homes would be an improvement. Concerns over rental properties. Opposition was raised to the idea of additional rental units in the area, with some residents arguing that owner-occupied homes better support long-term community investment and pride. Impact on rural character and infrastructure. Similar to item 1, concerns were expressed about road capacity, lack of infrastructure, and preservation of the area's agricultural identity. Aesthetic and property value concerns. At least one speaker described the applicant's existing structures as the biggest eyesore on Clito Road and suggested that additional homes would not contribute positively to the neighborhood. Deferred 3. Beverly Kennedy. Request to rezone approximately 6.07 acres from AG5 to R80 to subdivide an existing parcel into two parcels, 1584 Old River Road South. The applicant is rezoning so her friend can build a house. Deferred 4. John and Marie Honeycutt Family, LLP. Request to rezone approximately 51 of 64.95 acres from AG5 to R-8 to create a single-family subdivision, U.S. Highway 80 East. Speaking in favor of the rezoning request, the applicant acknowledged the concerns raised by opponents but reaffirmed their intention to develop a well-maintained and attractive subdivision. They emphasized that only around 20 homes were being proposed, and that the development would include covenants to prevent blight and protect property values. The applicant also pushed back on claims about increased crime and water usage, arguing that agricultural irrigation, such as center pivots, uses far more water than a small residential neighborhood would. They added that concerns about immigrant labor were unrelated to the rezoning and not relevant to the matter at hand. Ultimately, the applicant urged the commissioners to evaluate the project on its merits, reiterating their willingness to meet with officials and their desire to contribute a quality housing option to a growing area. While the rezoning request for Item 4 was ultimately deferred until August 5, several residents took the opportunity to speak out during the public comment period, voicing strong opposition based on their lived experiences and environmental concerns. Key themes raised by opponents included stormwater runoff and drainage issues. Longtime residents of Grimshaw Lane detailed worsening flooding problems in the area, exacerbated by upstream development in Johnson Run. Several cited frequent overflows and standing water, with one noting that retention ponds had failed to prevent damage in the past. Topography and hydrological impacts. Speakers described the geography of the area as a bowl, with multiple water sources draining toward their properties. Concerns were raised that additional impervious surfaces from new development would further overwhelm the area's drainage capacity. Historical distrust of prior development promises. Multiple speakers shared personal experiences of broken commitments during previous rezonings, including unmet drainage assurances and communication breakdowns with officials. Wetlands and environmental sensitivity. The proposed site's proximity to Black Creek and mapped wetlands drew alarm, with residents urging caution about building homes in environmentally vulnerable areas. Some alleged that homes in nearby developments were already improperly built in wetland zones. Calls for a water impact study. Residents cited a 2021 petition requesting a formal water impact assessment, stating they never received a response and asking commissioners to honor their earlier calls for responsible planning. General opposition to further subdivision sprawl. Commenters expressed fatigue with rapid development, echoing earlier sentiments from other items about overtaxed infrastructure, loss of rural character, and a need for smarter, more sustainable growth. Despite the item being tabled, the level of concern expressed underscored persistent tensions between development pressure and the lived reality of rural Bullitt County residents facing cumulative impacts. Deferred 5. ABBA Development, LLC, request to rezone approximately 50.13 acres from a G5 to R25 to create a single-family subdivision, Maria Sorrell Road. Commissioners also heard comments on a rezoning application submitted by ABBA Development, LLC to rezone approximately 50.13 acres on Maria Sorrell Road from a G5, agricultural, to R25, residential, 25,000 square feet lots, for a proposed single-family subdivision. The property sits just north of Statesboro in the county's designated suburban neighborhood character area and is near existing residential and industrial zones, as well as an active rail line. Speaking on behalf of the developer, the proposal calls for a low-density, locally built subdivision at 1.3 units per acre, well below the 2 to 4 units per acre recommended by the county's comprehensive plan. It was emphasized that the plan had staff support with conditions, had been approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission with a single dissent, and that the developer agreed to all recommended conditions, including requirements related to tree canopy, stormwater retention, and playground space. While the item was ultimately deferred to the August 5 meeting, several residents came forward to express concerns. Key concerns raised by residents included stormwater runoff and drainage. Multiple speakers questioned the adequacy and placement of the proposed stormwater retention ponds. Some argued that the topography of the site would lead to water draining into surrounding neighborhoods, potentially cutting off access for existing subdivisions like Stillwater. Proximity to industrial uses and rail infrastructure. Speakers noted the nearby active rail line, a concrete culvert facility, and an active propane storage site with large tanks, all of which were viewed as incompatible with residential development. Traffic and safety risks. Residents warned of a sharp curve near the proposed entrance that is already dangerous due to industrial truck traffic. They said that additional residential traffic would worsen conditions and create a blind curve scenario. Overconcentration of housing in the area. Citing several nearby subdivisions already in various stages of development, such as Stillwater, Sweetbriar, Rexford, and Silverleaf, some residents said the area is already accommodating its fair share of growth. Opposition to incremental sprawl. Echoing concerns raised in other rezoning cases that evening, opponents asked the board to prioritize responsible growth and to break from prior precedents that, in their view, had overburdened infrastructure and altered the county's rural character. The applicant rebutted that stormwater design would be handled by licensed engineers, reviewed by county staff, and designed to meet or exceed the state's 100-year stormwater detention standards. Wooten defended the project as consistent with both the county's comprehensive land use plan and responsible growth principles. The Board of Commissioners voted unanimously to defer the application to its August 5 meeting, allowing additional time for public review and input. V. Approval of General Agenda. 7. Public Comments. During general public comment, Bruce Simons urged the Commission to consider enacting a temporary moratorium on rezonings and major development approvals until the county completes its ongoing impact fee study. Simons cited concerns about overburdened infrastructure, the recent budget crisis, and the pressure on schools, emergency services, and public works. He estimated that nearly 300 homes are currently for sale in Bullitt County, with close to 10,000 additional housing units already approved but not yet built. "We don't need more right now," he said. "We need to make developers pay their fair share." Simons concluded by asking commissioners to put a halt to it until the county has a better handle on growth and fiscal impacts. Leisha Neville, speaking as a citizen and school board member, reiterated her long-standing concerns about the pace of development in Bullitt County and its impact on public services, especially schools. She urged commissioners to consider the cumulative effects of growth on infrastructure, emergency services, and education capacity, noting that as of late 2024, there were just over 1,400 open student spots across 16 schools, an average of only 91 per school. Naveel called for a temporary pause on rezonings, echoing earlier calls for a moratorium until the county can catch up and reassess its planning strategies. In response to Naveel's question about a rumored fire station, Fire Chief Ben Tapley confirmed that Union Church Road at Highway 301 had been identified in a 2022 GIS coverage analysis as a target location for improved fire response on the county's southern end. Approved 8. Consent Agenda 1. Minutes Approval. Tuesday, June 17, 2025, 8:30 a.m. 2. Minutes Approval. Wednesday, June 18, 2025, 5:30 p.m. 3. Approve a resolution to establish a special streetlight district for Phase 1 of Mayberry Subdivision. The developers of Phase 1 of Mayberry Subdivision have requested the creation of a special streetlight district for this subdivision. This special streetlight district was approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission on May 20, 2025, and the commissioners need to approve the presented resolution to actually create the streetlight district. Approval is recommended. 4. Approve a contract renewal between Bullitt County Board of Commissioners, D.B.A. Bullitt County Correctional Institute, and Inmate Calling Solutions, LLC, D.B.A. IC Solutions. This contract renews the service currently provided by Inmate Calling Solutions, ICS. This is a revenue-only service and Bullitt County does not pay anything for this service. X. New Business. Approved 1. Motion to approve individual project order number 05 under the Master Agreement for Continuing Professional Services, dated August 30, 2024, with Kimley Horn and Associates in the amount of $424,500 for design and engineering services for a new multi-span bridge and roadway improvements along G.W. Oliver Road over Little Lots Creek, funded by TSPLOST. A portion of G.W. Oliver Road, approximately 700 feet east of the Sinkhole Road intersection and approximately 3,300 feet west of the G.W. Oliver Spur Road intersection, has been closed to traffic since 6 August 2024 due to the effects of flooding from the Tropical Storm Debby event. G.W. Oliver Road was closed by Bullitt County due to extensive settlement, scouring, and pavement failure resulting in roadway collapse at the Little Lots Creek crossing. The drainage under G.W. Oliver Road at Little Lots Creek is currently conveyed by 7772-inch reinforced concrete pipe culvert. The flood damage along this portion of G.W. Oliver Road began last year during the Tropical Storm Debby event on 6 August 2024, which produced 13.2 inches of rainfall from 4 August 2024 through 8 August 2024. This portion of G.W. Oliver Road was again affected during the unnamed storm event 7 November 2024 through 8 November 2024, which produced 7.27 inches of rainfall during a 48-hour time frame. Finally, this location of G.W. Oliver Road was again affected during the 5 December 2025 rain event, which brought 6.90 inches of rainfall within a 24-hour time period on 12 May 2025. Bullitt County Engineering held a scoping meeting with Kimley Horn and Associates June 13, 2025 to discuss plans for design and engineering plans for permanent repairs to G.W. Oliver Road. Kimley Horn and Associates provided individual project order, IPO, number 5 dated June 24, 2025, which includes a proposal for professional services for the design and engineering of permanent repairs to G.W. Oliver Road. Proposed services included are as follows: 1. Design project management and coordination, 2. Hydrology and hydraulic modeling, 3. Hydrology and hydraulic report and coordination with FEMA along with an opinion of probable construction cost, 4. Topographical survey database preparation of the area, 5. Geotechnical studies, and 6. Final design plans and documents for construction, 7. Agency permitting, and 8. Construction phase services. All services provided by Kimley Horn and Associates will be in accordance with the Master Agreement for Continuing Professional Services dated August 30, 2024. Per the attached proposal for professional services, Kimley Horn will design and engineer this project as a new multi-span bridge and roadway improvement project. Kimley Horn possesses the expertise, knowledge, and certifications necessary to provide design services for a project of this type. Kimley Horn will follow state, federal guidelines as previously followed for storm-damaged drainage repair projects in Bullock County. This location has been reviewed and qualified by FEMA for reimbursement once funds become available. Additionally, FEMA has established a deadline for delivery of the hydrology and hydraulics report and the opinion of probable construction cost no later than July 25, 2025, or Bullock County forfeits mitigation reimbursement at this location. Delivery of final design plans and construction documents for this project is anticipated March 2026. The total budget to provide design and engineering services for a new multi-span bridge and roadway improvement along G.W. Oliver Road over Little Lots Creek is $424,500. The Board of Commissioners unanimously approved a $424,500 contract with Kimley Horn and Associates for design and engineering services to replace the washed-out bridge along G.W. Oliver Road over Little Lots Creek, which has been closed to traffic since August 6, 2024, due to extensive storm damage. The engineering scope includes design plans for a multi-span bridge, hydrology and hydraulic, H&H, modeling, coordination with FEMA, geotechnical studies, and topographical surveys. County Engineer Ron Nelson, speaking remotely, explained that the project is critical for restoring traffic access and qualifying for FEMA and GEMA reimbursements, which could cover up to 85% of the total $2.5 million combined construction and engineering costs. Nelson emphasized that the H&H report, due July 25, is essential to secure funding. If not completed in time, the county risks forfeiting reimbursement for the project. Commissioners questioned the risks and potential to withdraw if the final construction cost is too high. Nelson clarified that Bullock County retains the option to step back if the cost estimate is unreasonable. Commissioners and Interim County Manager Randy Tillman both confirmed that emergency service providers do not support closing the road permanently, reinforcing the need for reconstruction. The motion passed unanimously. Commission and staff comments. Robert Siemens, Assistant Director of Public Works, provided an update on Deckel Road, which sustained damage during recent storms. He reported that the damaged infrastructure has been repaired, including the installation of new culvert pipes and headwalls. Public Works crews are currently finalizing work on the road's driving surface, with the goal of fully reopening the road by tomorrow morning. Siemens thanked the board for their continued support. Fire Chief Ben Tapley provided an operational update to the board, announcing that Stations 1 and 16 officially opened the night before with 22 firefighters on duty. An ambulance unit was also stationed at Station 16 on Highway 67, staffed in coordination with EMS. The department is now running an engine company from EMS and continues operations at the Clito Station, which reopened several weeks ago. Tapley also noted that the City of Statesboro approved the mutual aid agreement during its Tuesday morning meeting. The county is expected to finalize the agreement at its July 15 meeting, though both departments have already committed to responding to each other's calls as needed to ensure public safety. James Pope, Planning and Development Director, provided a multi-part update on several projects and initiatives currently underway. The septic treatment and disposal study is approximately 40-45% complete, with a first draft expected in about a month. Pope noted that initial suggestions from Hussey Gay Bell, working with Hazel Otwell and Associates, include promising cost estimates aligned with prior committee discussions. Regarding the impact fee study, the request for proposals, RFP, is about 97% finalized. Pope anticipates releasing it to potential consultants by mid-July, with the goal of selecting a firm by September. He reminded the board that the study will take 10 to 12 months to complete. On the groundwater sustainability program, Pope reported that the county continues to negotiate with three well drilling contractors. Testing on two wells has already occurred, with one showing particularly high performance and minimal drawdown. A third well was scheduled for testing later that week. Operational timelines for the wells vary. The first two could go live as early as late Q3, July to September 2025, while Bullitt County's wells, number 3 and number 4, are not expected to be operational until after January 2026. The system will utilize a SCADA-controlled network, enabling coordinated well operation to minimize aquifer stress. The Groundwater Program Committee has named Doug Lambert as chairman, Dr. Frank Davis as secretary, and a Bryan County representative as vice chair. The joint housing study presentation by Georgia Tech is scheduled for Wednesday, July 9 at 5 p.m. at the Jack Hill Building's Oak Room. The Board of Commissioners, Statesboro City Council, and Board of Education are all invited to attend this collaborative briefing. Finally, Pope addressed a question from the board regarding the $1 million fund created for the groundwater program. According to CFO Christy King, Bryan County has opened its own bank account, but the full fund, especially the portion from the Bullitt County Development Authority, has not yet been transferred. County attorneys are working on an agreement that will allow both counties to manage and access the funds while maintaining joint oversight and reconciliation. Corey Kemp, Director of Emergency Management, reported a successful joint training effort over the past weekend, describing it as a phenomenal weekend for all of public safety. A total of 24 participants from Statesboro Fire, Bullitt County Fire, the Sheriff's Office, and EMS completed a two-day boat operations and water rescue course. The training included classroom instruction and practical exercises, with initial drills held on a lake in Portal and more advanced scenarios conducted on a fast-moving section of river, simulating real rescue conditions. Kemp thanked the department heads for their support and gave special recognition to the City of Perry, whose team traveled to lead the training. Dee Cosby, Recreation Director, invited the public to the county's annual 4th of July celebration, which will take place on Thursday, July 3 at 5 p.m. The event will feature inflatable attractions, food vendors, music, and fireworks at dark 30, or approximately 9 p.m. Cosby encouraged attendees to bring bug spray and come ready for a fun evening. During his commissioner comments, Timmy Rushing delivered a pointed and impassioned message aimed at clarifying the distinction between the responsibilities of the Bullitt County Board of Commissioners and the Bullitt County Board of Education. Rushing emphasized that the commission has no control over the school system's land purchases, hiring, tax rates, or construction plans. He addressed repeated public concerns that the county should do more to assist with school overcrowding by stating bluntly that such authority rests solely with the Board of Education. The only reason the commission appears on tax bills, he explained, is because the county tax office handles collection, nothing more. Rushing further defended the commission's record, noting that it has already absorbed a $1.5 million increase to fund critical infrastructure including fire and EMS stations, sewer projects, and equipment. He said the commission has taken its whipping and delivered results, while the Board of Education, in his view, has yet to break ground on a single new school. He acknowledged that growth is coming rapidly, with an estimated 10,000 homes already approved, but asserted that halting it is not within the commission's power. He also shared that he speaks regularly with Superintendent Charles Wilson, and while he respects their challenges, he insisted the commission cannot be expected to solve problems it does not oversee. Rushing concluded by saying he would continue to explain this division of responsibility every meeting, if necessary, until the public understands it. Naville, in response, said she agreed with the majority of his comments and reiterated her plea for more time to catch up before additional rezonings are approved, acknowledging that portable classrooms may soon become an unfortunate necessity. Commissioner Ray Davis added to the discussion by noting that the board may have missed an important opportunity during the meeting by not hearing directly from Superintendent Charles Wilson, who was present earlier but left before public comments. Davis shared that he spoke briefly with Wilson in the lobby and invited him to speak, but Wilson declined. Davis emphasized that, in his view, there is a clear correlation between the rezonings approved by the commission and the resulting impact on the school system. He urged the commission to formally invite Wilson to speak at the next meeting specifically about current, past, and potential future rezonings, and how they may affect school capacity and infrastructure planning. Commissioner Ray Mosley raised a question about federal grant funding received in the 1970s for sewer and water infrastructure, asking for clarification on how those funds were being used or planned for. Planning and Development Director James Pope responded by explaining that while the funding in question was not from the 1970s, the county has recently received two significant earmarks, one for $3 million and another for $1 million, from Senator Raphael Warnock's office for FY23 and FY24. These funds, totaling approximately $4 million, are being coordinated through the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, and are currently awaiting strategic direction based on findings from a sewer treatment and disposal study being conducted by Hofstadter and Associates. Pope assured Mosley that the study should be completed by October, at which point the county will have a clearer understanding of its infrastructure needs and can submit a formal application to the EPA to access the funding. He emphasized the importance of acting in a timely manner to avoid losing access to these federal dollars. Chairman David Bennett closed the meeting with reminders and words of appreciation. He encouraged residents to enjoy the 4th of July holiday safely, emphasizing time with family, neighbors, and fireworks. Just don't shoot your eye out. He celebrated the midnight activation of fire stations 1 and 16, thanking Fire Chief Ben Tapley, Brian Hendricks, Randy Newman, Robert Toole, and inmate labor crews for making it possible. Bennett noted the station's openings mark expanded fire protection into underserved areas and align with the county's commitment to responsible growth. He praised staff efforts, likening the final push at Station 16 to a home renovation show racing against the clock. He also highlighted the graduation of 11 new firefighters and shared that 30 of the 36 newly approved firefighter positions have already been filled. The chairman reminded the public that all county offices will be closed on July 4, and that the July 9 joint housing study meeting at Ogeechee Tech's Oak Room is open to the public. Lastly, he urged homeowners to verify or apply for their homestead exemption by July 7, noting that nearly 400 people had applied in the past week. The board then entered executive session, with no action scheduled upon return. 11. Executive session, personnel and real estate and potential litigation. 12. Adjourn.